Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Time to catch up with Myra Azzopardi from Citizens Advice Bureau Spain, as we do every fortnight. Morning, Myra.
Morning, all.
You must be getting blown away down your end of the coast.
Certainly is a lot of wind, yes. Yes. It is very windy.
So today we're going to talk about an interesting topic. We've talked a lot about people getting their residency and getting their TIE sorted and all the rest of it, who began the process in the last year or even before that. But now we're going to talk about people who have suddenly decided, you know what, I wouldn't mind moving to that lovely country, Spain. Now what do I do? And this is what we're going to discuss today. So that's a whole different world of pain, isn't it?
Yes, I think there'll be a lot of people here at the moment who have holiday homes that usually overwinter here.
Yeah.
And could still be here and obviously listening in, and I know people are listening in from the UK. So yes, it's a whole difference. If you haven't been residing here legally, meaning under the conditions of the European directive, then you would be applying as a newbie, just for a nice name.
Yeah, I suppose we've got a lot of people who may be tipped over the edge, in effect, that they've got their holiday home here, they've had it for years, have been coming to it for years, but with the 90 days in 180 restriction, they may think, well, actually, do you know what? I might as well just move there now because I like it so much, and why wouldn't I? So those are the kind of people, really.
Yes, some people have tried to circumvent the 90 days and 180 day ruling, but it doesn't quite work, though I'm sure some have done it, actually taking residency here with no intention of staying here. And some lawyers have been, and some gestores have been, allowing people to do that without advising them that, you know, because these people usually want to be non-fiscal residents here. Well, that's fine. They can be non-fiscal residents here, which means staying less than 183 days in a year, but then as soon as they go out for more than 6 months, they are likely to lose their residency status, because you cannot, as a temporary resident, be absent for more than 6 months.
Right. And so is that something which automatically happens, Myra? So if you cross that 6 month threshold, does it automatically mean that your residency is gone?
Yes, it depends. Obviously, the system has to, as it works with non-EU, has done with non-EU, because now passports are checked, not so much for those that are residents, but that could come up quite easily, because there shouldn't be any passport stamping for residents. But it's something that you'd probably live a little bit worried about, losing your residency status.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one. They must check, of course, when you turn up at the queue, the non-EU queue, and even if they don't stamp your passport, you're in the system, aren't you? So the numbers are there somewhere.
We're always in the system. So, and there's newer regulations have come in where, you know, checking names, etc. So you're in the system. So people should just be very careful if they're trying to get residency just for that reason.
One of the interesting things I saw somebody asking on your page the other day was about people who are resident in Spain, who would they then have to follow that 90-day rule if, for example, they wanted to spend those 90 days in France or Germany or whatever? And I think the answer is yes, they would have to follow it.
Yes, unless they go back to their home, to UK, then they can come and go as they wish.
Yep.
But the rule applies to all other EU member states, except the state you live in.
Right.
That's your host state, would be Spain in this case.
Yeah.
So you can come and go as you wish.
Mm.
As long as you don't, if you're a temporary resident, you don't over stay out of the country for more than 6 months.
Right.
After 5 years under the withdrawal agreement, if you've taken residency out under the withdrawal agreement, not the newbies coming in, you'd be allowed to be absent for 5 years when you're a permanent resident.
Right.
But that won't apply to anybody making applications from now. I mean, I had an email from a young lady who was not aware saying, you know, I want to come to Spain, I want to get a job. And I realised that sort of way of travelling has gone.
Oh,
a young person can't come and then find a job and then apply for residency, as all UK nationals as non-EU citizens or non-EU status must now apply from their home country. And there are, it's not easy because there's general visa requirements. For a start, you should apply 90 days before you are expecting to, 90 days before you are expecting to arrive in Spain.
Yeah.
And you apply in the consulate of your own, of the UK. Now, unfortunately, we say that, and the main consulate that deals with this is London, who are closed temporarily.
Ah, okay.
Until further notice. So, you know, everything just, from what I do, I mean, I just wonder what next, because every day there are more complications. Then we've got now the chance for people to make their applications. Not only can they not fly in anyway, they don't know when they can fly in from the UK, but the London consulate is closed.
Right,
so
right.
So it's like saying, but the people should prepare. They should still prepare if they want to come in. So you apply 90 days before you come in, and you should have a passport with at least a year's validity and two empty pages where they're going to stamp your visa.
Right.
And you don't pay your visa until the application is accepted. This is no longer like a CASA form of paying 12. This is like 400, 500, whatever. Per person. So there's a payment for that visa.
Yeah.
All documents now must be judicially translated and legalised, which is back to the Apostle of the Hague, because we're not, UK is no longer in the EU.
Yeah, yeah. It's so interesting, Myra, that, you know, there's a lot of people who are kind of seeming really quite shocked by all of this. But, you know, as somebody who's spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia, we are just basically like somebody going to Thailand. And frankly, it's, you know, you've got to get yourself a visa, you've got to, but you do the requisite paperwork. And if you overstay, you're in deep trouble when you do that in any other country.
You can be fined and you can be refused entry, re-entry for quite a few years. So it is quite serious. I mean, this and lots of other things people are finding out with their postage. And
I was going to ask you about that, the postage thing. There's a lot of people who are very surprised about the fact that suddenly packages are taking ages to arrive from the UK to Spain. And then when they do arrive, there's huge duty payments on them. And some postage you're not getting here at all. This was all expected, wasn't it?
Well, I expected it, but if you didn't understand this, what was actually happening, because they were the four freedoms, but people were not acquainted. People now know more about the EU than they ever did. But if you didn't understand that the agreement was the four freedoms went together, which was freedom of movement, customs union, another one, trade agreements, that sort of thing, you couldn't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. So if you're not in the customs union, you're now, it's like goods coming in from another country that's not an EU member state. That was the whole idea of forming an EU in the beginning anyway, and it was to actually be able to be like one country, all have the same regulations, so you could freely move and work and your goods would move freely. And a lot of people now with problems are bringing in their goods from outside. Bringing in their, they are allowed to as residents, bring in their personal possessions, but there's quite a lot of confusion at the borders.
I was going to ask you about that one as well. So if you're here in Spain, let's say, and you are a resident and you've left your stuff in the UK, let's say, in storage, are you allowed to bring that in for free now, or is there now a duty to be paid?
If you've done it, if you're doing it because you've recently taken out residence, you've taken out residency and it's your personal belongings, then you don't pay duty. But you really do need a forwarding agent to help you. It's not like with a vehicle to help you make that move. So that's not changed in that way. It's to do with residency rather than some things won't change, like wills. We're doing a seminar again on planning your estate, because there's some things that don't change but you should still be careful with. So again, also, once you've been given a positive answer, you must collect your visa within 1 month from the date of notification. That's when you pay for it. And then when you come to Spain, you have a month in which to apply for your TIE. But though it might sound simple, it's a bit difficult for pensioners now, because there's various visas. There's non-lucrative visa for employed persons, visas for self-employed, visa for employment of a determined duration, visa with a work permit exception, family reunification visa, visa for investors, entrepreneurs, visa for intra-corporate transfer, internship visas, student visas.
Wow. But again, you know, Myra, this is the kind of de rigueur for people who again, travel abroad regularly. And again, you know, for example, I can only use the example in Thailand because I'm familiar with it really very much so. And they've got just about as many visas as that, and you've got to get it right. And you generally have to get somebody to help you because it's complicated.
Yes, a lot of people, I've just got a case, obviously, I don't discuss the people, but who try to do a visa from a not UK, a non-EU country, and try to do it themselves, and applied for the wrong visa because they believed this and that. And I said, what a shame. That's the wrong visa to have applied for. You have entitlement because of vulnerability in people that you want to join you. Then there's a different set of rules. So it's something that people, if you look at the Facebook groups, of course, everybody knows about visas now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know what we're like here. We tend to parrot everything we hear.
Yeah.
And then without realizing, there's a lot more. You can look at what the consulate tells you, but I cross-reference everything with the law, foreigner's law. There's two of them. Well, one's a resolution one. So I cross-check, because you're not going to get everything in a write-out from the consulate. So it's important to know. And this poor couple who wished to bring their mother in have been refused because they actually went down a route they thought they had to. So now maybe they can start again. But for the pensioners, of course, I think most pensioners, when before minimum resources for a couple was under 5,000 a year, or just, no, actually five, sorry, for a couple, for one person was 5,400 and odd, and for a couple it was just over 8,000.
Right.
Now we go for a couple having to show a monthly income of one person to, have I got, yeah, 2,268, a few pence. If you've got a couple, that's now gone up to 2,823. You must have to be accepted for a non-lucrative visa.
Hang on, that's per month, right? You're talking there, Myra, that's per month, right?
The month.
Yeah, yeah.
But each family member after that, if it's just people that are not pensioners but self-sufficient, it's 565 euros per family member after that.
Right, right.
So that's a big change. That for a couple from from 20, what are we talking about? From basically 800 a month as well to 2,823.
Wow.
So it's a big jump. Now, people are mistaken, and so a lot of professionals think that if you've got property, that counts. It's not quite having the property that counts. It's having an income from that property.
Right.
You may be renting your property out in the UK, and therefore you can add that to your income. You may have bonds and shares and, you know, lots of money on your credit card, that sort of thing. That all helps. So you have to know that you can add. But the confusion at the moment, a lot of people say, no, if you've got a property, that counts. No, it's the income derived from the property. If you've got a property with no income derived from it, then no.
Mm. Wow, complicated. In fact, we were talking with Sean from Abta there, you know, things you wouldn't even begin to think would have suddenly become an issue. You know, bringing a bottle of Nando's peri-peri sauce across the Gibraltar border has now become a huge issue.
Exactly, meats and anything. And the same we published way back, but I think people are not checking. Need to go to our Brexit link on the website and they will see all that information. Passport, stamping, the consulate brought up today. We published that way back. What should happen and what is happening are two different things at the moment. Yeah. And also for the people coming in on non-lucrative visa, they get this for a year. And then can be extended.
Yep.
The initial residence period is for 1 year and can be extended. So it's not simple that just coming here and getting a green certificate and just never doing anything with it, never having to.
Yeah. There's another thing I just wanted to briefly just touch on with you that I've seen in lots of forums. We've still got this people who are, less than honest about the requirements to move to a TIE, and they're putting all kinds of pressure on people still, saying that, you know, there's a new rule now that the date is this and you must have done it before then, otherwise, you know, the heavens will fall in. Nothing's changed, right, in terms of you're not forced into a TIE yet.
No, and there's some companies saying the banks want you they won't keep your account open. I think one person had said their bank had said the same thing. They may have read the same information. The banks can't override a law, a Spanish royal decree, so nothing's changed there.
Yes. So that's exactly what it was. It was somebody saying that they allegedly had heard somewhere on the grapevine that a bank said you have to have a TIE, otherwise they're going to cancel your account. So that's complete nonsense.
And I'm not sure that it could change in the future, because the withdrawal agreement stands and Spain chose the system that's a declaratory system.
Yeah.
And that means that you didn't have to update your resident status and you didn't have to take documentation. You didn't have to change. So I don't know how you could ever be made to change your green certificate. Obviously, we've written on the website and we've spoken here about there are some advantages to having the card when you're traveling.
Yeah.
Yes, it's rather unfair that, you know, some people choose. It's all a matter of choice, and it's nice to have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
So to tell people that, you know, sometimes it's just somebody has said we were wrong on something, and of course we were right. It was a lawyer said that we were lawyers, and therefore we were wrong on something.
Oh, they were brave. Just before we finish, Myra, it's off topic, but I just thought I'd ask you, it's coming on a WhatsApp. I don't know who it was that sent this. I just got a number here. I am a resident and on the Spanish health system. England have sent me a letter asking me to renew my EHIC card. Why?
Well, this... or being posted here as a worker from the UK posted to Spain, they must be entitled to have an S1 because the EHIC are going to be phased out, the present ones.
Mm-hmm.
So it should carry on until their validity period. So it's going to be phased out and there's a new EHIC. Again, on our website, you can find out all the details there. Yes, you need to update. I would imagine they could be pensioners.
Right. So basically, renew the EHIC card as you've been asked, is what you're saying.
In the UK, you only need your S1. If it's not their situation, which I can't imagine what else it would be, you know, it's either somebody posted here or somebody with an S1.
Yeah.
Cross-border worker, something like that. So if it's not that, they can contact us.
Okay, but basically, that's the answer would be renew the card, right, as you've been asked for now.
Yes, renew the card.
Fantastic,
renew
Myra.
The card.
We're out of time. Thank you so much, as always, for your great work. If people want to find where you are, Google Citizens Advice Bureau Spain. You'll find the excellent website with loads of answers there. And there's also a Facebook page, the same thing. But lots of answers, lots of documentation on all kinds of answers to questions that you will have. Myra, thank you so much. You look after yourself. We'll speak again in a couple of weeks' time.
Bye. Thank
Take
you.
Care. Bye.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.